Be reading Psalms 119, 1 through 20. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. Rejoice in the falling with your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. And at this time, the kids are released to kids' church.
Good morning. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come in your house and worship you. Lord, as we read and study your word today, may your spirit be upon us. May it saturate us with the things that we need to know. And may we apply them to our lives, Father, not just be hearers, but doers of your word. Father, we just thank you so much for your love for us, that Jesus Christ was obedient to you, that he set the example, an example that we're supposed to be like as Christians. Help us to see that. Help us to tap into the power of your spirit. And we thank you so much for giving us your spirit, Father, that we can be filled with the power of God and united with one another in brotherly love because we all share that same spirit. Thank you for this day, for it is yours. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If you leave a list of rules out for your children and then you go off and you come back home, do you expect them to obey them? What if they obey some of them? I see a lot of no's. I expect them to obey them. Whether they will or not is a different thing because they're my child. They should be obedient to me. But do they necessarily obey them? Not necessarily. So when you come back home and they've obeyed 4 out of 5, did they obey you? When they obeyed 5 of them but did not obey the way that you said, did they obey you? Remember what happened to Moses in the wilderness. One simple little mistake. He didn't follow God's command to the exact letter of the law, and he couldn't enter the promised land. We think that's so trivial. But God's commands aren't out there just because he wants to be somebody in charge. He doesn't need us to follow him to be omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is mighty. He does not need our obedience, but he desires our obedience. We are supposed to be like Christ, and that's to follow all of his laws. Can you be obedient and not love? Sure you can. You can begrudgingly do it. Again, look at example of our children. Or better yet, when you were a child, you might have followed the commands. But did you obey them out of a loving heart? Did you serve because you wanted to serve? That you wanted to serve your parents because of all that they did for you? Well, how much more has your Heavenly Father done for you? Can you love and not be obedient? What about that question? That's a difficult one. Because if you truly love, will you not be obedient? Then we need to examine ourselves, don't we? Because we say we love our Father, but yet we don't follow all of His commands. We pick and choose which ones. And we don't need to be able to. We just need to let the Spirit guide us. Paul says he struggles all the time with doing things that he did not want to do. We are sinners saved by grace. We sin all the time. But Jesus' blood covered every last stain, every last imperfection. And if we'll just let go and let the Spirit guide us, teach us, empower us, then what a difference we can make. Ask any teenager. They don't want to obey their parents. Most. I won't say any. Because they don't understand. That's what it'll boil down to if you really talk to them. They don't understand why their parents give them the rules. At some point in their lives, they'll say, "You just like to give me rules. You like to see that I suffer, that I'll follow your rules." But that's not why it is. You don't give them rules for that reason. If you're a parent, you understand that. You give them rules to protect them. You give them rules to teach them. You give them rules because you love them. You don't want them to have to learn through the lesson of hard knocks. You don't want their safety to be at risk. You want them to be obedient because the rules that you set down are for their safety, because you love them. But they don't understand that. Isn't it a little bit like our relationship with our Heavenly Father? We think when He says, "Go do this," we say, "Well, wait a minute, that's going to require something." Yeah, it is. But He's given us everything that we need. That's going to be hard. Yeah, it probably is. But the blessings that we will have. I mean, it's amazing that God says to do this, but most of the commandments are followed up with a promise after that. And if you do, why does He even need to give us a promise? We should love God, we should fear God enough to obey His commands verbatim. But if he goes on to say that if you will, you'll have long life in the land. You'll have peace, you'll have prosperity. So not only has He commanded us to follow His commands, His precepts, but He said, "If you will, I will do this for you." Wow, what an awesome God. One of the first Bible verses that we teach our children, because we like to hear this commandment, is to honor your father and mother, isn't it? Because God has commanded it. You should obey. I don't know how many times I told Jacob that over and over again, thinking that, well, he would see that and obey me. But if he sees my own hypocrisy, why is he going to obey me? Why is he going to serve the God I say that I serve if I speak with my mouth and don't do with the actions of my heart? Or why is he going to obey all of my precepts if I honor most of God's precepts? Last week I was praising for our service, and I still am. Don't get me wrong. I don't see this because I see a multitude wrong in our church or in your lives. If I do that, I'm looking at my own life, not your life. And I see all the imperfections there, and I learn that my righteousness does not come from myself. It only comes from God. By being obedient to Him, by giving myself up to Him, my faith counts for righteousness, just as Noah was accounted righteous because of his faith. It's nothing that I can do. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And God loves me. He loves me, He loves you with all of His heart, enough that He would send Jesus to die for our sins. Which when you think about that, that's just amazing. And it's ridiculous sounding to the world. Why would God, who is so powerful and everything else, why would He do that for a sinner such as I? But He does. He loves us. So if I understand that, why would I not want to give my life back in obedience to Him? Why would I want to follow some of His precepts? Obey in the Greek comes from the word hypako, which means to listen attentively and to heed and to conform to a command and authority as your duty and obligation. There is no choice or debate in the matter. It is to totally obey whether you understand, agree with it, or anything else. Obedience is absolute and involuntary. It's closely related to the Greek word hopeko. Submit is what that word is. To submit, it means to totally surrender to an authority. You have to choose to submit. You should have done that the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You should have accepted Him as your authority, your teacher, your Lord also. But like I said last week, we sometimes get that backwards, and I've got that verse backwards. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. They chose to listen to all of the Master's teachings, to obey Him. And when they reached a point that their behavior was like Christ, that they imitated Him, that's when they were called Christians, like Christ, little Christ. Wasn't the other way around. They made that decision to be a disciple. Go back and look at them. They failed many times. They didn't understand. They missed opportunities. They did not understand what Jesus was even truly here for. And when He died on the cross, they hid. Their hopes were dashed. How could this Jesus that they put all of their hopes and aspirations and dreams in, how could He be dead in a tomb? Because they did not understand. But when they seen Him rise again, when they were filled with the power of the Spirit, they changed the world, didn't they? A boldness and an obedience for Christ that you didn't see before. You saw a boldness in oneself. Peter said, I won't deny you, Lord. I'll fight for you. But yet he denied Christ three times. He was scared. He didn't have the power. He thought he did. He relied on his own might rather than on the power of the Spirit. A Christian chooses to submit. But once you submit, obedience is not voluntary. It's something that is commanded. Obedience is involuntary and should be followed to every letter of the law. Jesus was God. He is our servant king, as I said last week. He humbly gave up heaven. He submitted to God's authority and was totally obedient even to the death of the cross. He prayed to the Father, not my will, but yours, Lord. He knew what he was going to have to face. He knew that it was going to be agonizing. He knew that it wasn't something that he was looking forward to doing. He said, Lord, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine. You cannot call yourself a Christian if you're not obedient in serving Christ, because you're not like Christ. You're not like the servant king. I can call myself an astronaut all day long, but it doesn't make me one, does it? I can move my bed out to the garage and call myself a car, but I'm not. If we are a Christian, we are like Christ, plain and simple. That's what we are. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. But if I accept Jesus as my Savior and follow His words, His actions, His deeds, with all that I have, with all of my heart, then I am like Christ. I am a Christian. And I am to be like Christ. So what is Jesus like? Hebrews 5, verses 7 through 9 says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death. And He was heard because of His reverent submission, not because of who He was, but because He was submissive. Son, though He was, He was God's Son. He learned obedience from what He suffered. And we think suffering is something we don't want to face. But suffering teaches us patience, doesn't it? If you ever want to pray for patience, expect suffering to come along the way. God's just not going to say, here you go, you're patient. He's going to give you what you need to learn patience. Verse 9, and once made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him. Not for those who call themselves Christians, not for those that were called to be His disciples, but those who obey Him. So if you're not obeying God's commands, all of them, why? Why do you obey some? Why do you obey most? Why? God has called us to be obedient. And if we truly love and understand, go back to our children again, or when we were a child, once we understood, we didn't agree with everything that our parents did, but we respected them if they loved us. How much more does our Heavenly Father love us? Is it not obvious? He gave His Son at just the right time to die for our sins, to take away punishment from us. So if we understand love, then shouldn't we be obedient? Jesus was very clear about our relationship and the relationship between love and obedience. He said in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commands. In John 14, 21, He said, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and show myself to them. And John 14, 24 says, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. Exact opposite. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So it's pretty clear there. If we love God, we will obey Him. Not if we obey Him, we love Him. But if we love Him, we will obey Him. Today we wonder why the world is the way it is, why it seems to literally be going to hell. But if we look at our own examples and follow our own lives, God's commands tell us to teach our children about Him so that they will not depart from His way, so they'll know that He is Lord. So are we doing that? Is it our own fault? Just like immature and disobedient children, so many times Christians focus on their own selfful, sinful desires. We live in a land of opportunity, so we want to seek after those opportunities. But our life is not our own. This is not where we belong. We live in a foreign land. Our home is in heaven with God. Maybe we should go back to the Old Testament, see what it says. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "These are the commands, decrees, and laws from the Lord your God, directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you." And here's that promise again. "So that you may enjoy long life." God is so awesome, so loving, and so kind. And if we love Him, we should obey Him. His Word is clear, it's specific. We have examples that we can look at and read. And we say, why could they not be obedient? Why would they not obey? They walked with God. Well, we walk with God every single day. Whether you're asleep or not, God is still residing inside of you in the power of His Spirit. Total obedience to His commands, every last one of them, is what He requires. And then He's so awesome that He gives us promises. God is so loving and kind. Do you remember the verse from last week? Luke 22, 27? Putting you on the spot. "For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." One who was obedient to His Father. There's our example of Jesus Christ, who loved so much that He gave Himself for you and I. When I contemplate that verse, it's just overwhelming that Jesus would come and wash my feet. That Jesus would love me enough, even though I'd spit in His face and mock Him. And I do that with my life. I don't have to be the one that was there at the cross. I do that when I'm disobedient. And He still loves me, and He's there every minute, every second, with open arms saying, "Just turn around and come back to me. And I will be here, and I will provide for you, and I will fill you with my Spirit." The insight and honesty of a child is something we should look at sometimes, and the Scriptures tell us about that. Last week when we were teaching the kids their Bible verses, one of them said, "Is this something I just need to learn to recite, or should I understand it and do it?" Right? Do we ask that question sometimes? If we understand what the verse means, do we truly believe it? Do we apply it? Do we live it? Or do we conditionalize God's Word and then say, "Where are you, Lord? Why are you not here in this broken land?" Satan's job is to deceive. Eve knew exactly what God had told her to do. She answered Satan when he said, "What did God tell you?" He said, "Not to eat from the fruit of this tree." She was clear about it. But then he said, "Is that what God really said?" And because she desired more, because she didn't understand God's rules, whatever the reason was, she was disobedient. And her husband could have changed things right then. He could have said, "No, you're wrong, Eve." But he didn't. He went right down the path of destruction with her. And we've been following that ever since. Satan hasn't changed his tactics. He hasn't given up. In this world, it looks like he's going about with more and more fervency to fulfill his tasks. The world is saying, "What do I need to do? Where do I need to find peace?" And he's there to answer and say, "In this, in that, anything that's other than God. I don't even mind you being a Christian, as long as you're a half-hearted Christian. Because then, guess what? You're not leading people to Jesus Christ. You're drawing them away from Him. We've got to be an obedient follower, or our children, this nation, our world, will see our hypocrisy. Our study in Revelations asks us sometimes, on the side of it says, ponder this thought. What about the Word of God? Every word, do you truly believe it? And if you do, do you live by it? Ponder that thought. If you're not studying Revelation, there's more books back there. We'd love to have you. You can study on your own. It's amazing that one of the things we're coming up on talks about this same thing, because Jesus is talking right now. We're in Revelations 2. And He's talking to the churches. And He's saying, I commend you for this. He tells them what they're doing right. But then He also says, but here's some things I have against you. Lessons that we can learn from, so that hopefully we don't make the same mistakes. And if we do, at the end of each section, it says, repent and come back to Me. That's all you need to do. Repent, change directions, and everything's fine. I will be here for you. I will comfort you. I love you. So when you teach your kids to be polite and obedient, do you expect them to do it? When you tell your kids to clean up your room, do you expect them to listen? How about when you tell your children to put on a helmet because it'll protect them while they're riding a bicycle? Whatever reasons you tell your child something, it's because you love them. The same thing is true with God's Word. He's not a policeman up in the sky saying, don't do this, don't do that, because I want to be in charge. He's saying, do this and enjoy a fruitful life on this earth. Do this and find true happiness and peace instead of chasing after fairy tales that come from the devil. Do this and be protected, and your children will be protected also. So why would we not follow every single thing? Mark 7, verse 6 says, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor Me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me. And James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word so you deceive yourselves. Do what it says. If you love God, if you love Jesus, if you understand anything about His love that He had for you, then you should be obedient. And when you truly understand that love, you will be obedient. True love brings about obedience to God. You won't desire just to listen to His word, but you'll desire to obey every word of it. You'll long that your example will draw others to Jesus Christ, because they're lost and don't know any better. And if there's anything that you can do on this earth that has lasting value, it's be an example to the lost so that they might come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. This week was easy for me. I didn't have vacation Bible school. But on the other hand, it was kind of empty. I had time for myself, went kayaking a couple times, went to town, did some shopping. Where the week before, I got up every day, got my work done at the shop, had to get in and hurry and set up the tent at Vacation Bible School, cut out ducks at night, whatever it took. I didn't really have an ounce of free time, but it was the most rewarding week that I've had in my life in a long time. That's where you find peace. By serving God with all of your heart, by being obedient. Yeah, I had free time this week, but what was it good for? I got to relax a little bit, but it wasn't fulfilling. The things in this earth are to be enjoyed. That's why God made this creation for us. But they satisfy temporarily. Seeing those kids say thank you, like the chorus did at the end of the service last week, when I'm in heaven, wow, that would be a reward. That will be time well spent. Paul says we are to be living sacrifices. He knows it's going to be hard. It's not an easy task, but it's what we're called to do. Roger Staubach said this. He had a problem with obedience. Remember him from Dallas Cowboys back in the 70s, big dynasty? Because he had a problem. He was the quarterback. Shouldn't he call the plays for the team? He had a coach, didn't he? Tom Landry. And Tom Landry told him, he said, son, if you ever call a field on the play, I'll know that you needed to make an audible call at the last minute. But you better be right. You better follow the teachings that I have taught you, because I'm in charge. I'm the coach of this team. You're the quarterback. You're a player. And Roger Staubach said this, "I faced up to the issue of obedience. Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory." That's what it takes to win, to listen to your coach. God is our coach. He gives us the rules to live by to protect us because He loves us. And I'm not saying that we don't. Like I said, this is a loving church, but we can always improve. We can always do more. We can always be reassured by a brother to get energy revitalized in us when we're struggling. That's why we're to meet together, to lift each other up, to strengthen each other, to do more as a body than we can as individuals. I was reading an article that was called Radical Obedience, and I thought to myself, obedience shouldn't be radical. It should be something that's just given. You should do it. Duh. But then I got to looking at the article a little bit more, and I have to tend to agree a little bit. I looked up the definition of radical, and it changed my view. Our obedience to God definitely needs to be radical. Radical means very basic and important, new and different, from what is traditionary or ordinary. If Christianity has got complacent in this world, if it has got watered down in this country, then we need to be radically different, don't we? Christians have become more and more not like Christ rather than like Christ. So we do need to be fully and lovingly obedient to all of God's commands. Isn't that radical compared to how we do live sometimes? Radical also means to have extreme social and political views that are not shared by most people. Christianity today seems to have been compromised. God's commands seem to be followed if you understand them, if you want to follow them, if they benefit you. But Jesus said this in Revelation 3. We probably won't get there tonight, but we'll get there next week. So you have time to catch up. Another sales pitch. He says, "I will spit out lukewarm believers out of my mouth." Here's what he says in Revelation 3, 15 through 17. "I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm," and he explains it again, "neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. So you say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing,' but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." That's what Jesus warns this church. If you're reading along, this has truly changed. He doesn't talk to the other churches the way he has to this one so far. Here's the problem. Sin is sin. It's not anything else. We want to call it anything but sin, because if we don't call it that, then we can get by with disobeying God's word. We can say it's okay to do this today. It's acceptable in society, not if it's against God's word. If it's against God's word, plain and simple, it is sin. And if we follow Him with some of our heart, if we follow some of His precepts, aren't we guilty of being lukewarm? And Jesus warns them, "I am about to spit you out of my mouth." Radical obedience to God means obeying all of His commands with all of your heart. Radical also means this, proceeding and growing from a root. Jesus told us about that. He said, "I am the vine, you are the branches," or He is the root. Apart from the root or the vine, the branch doesn't grow, does it? It doesn't produce fruit. Matter of fact, it's dead, and He says He'll throw it into the fire because it's worthless. We can't be apart from the root and expect to be called a Christian. We have to be grafted into the vine, the true vine, which is Jesus Christ, and produce fruit. Our memory verse said, "For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves?" Is it not the one who is at the table? It makes perfectly good sense to this world. Of course it is. "But I am among you as one who serves." Jesus had every right to come in a different capacity, but because He was fully obedient to the Father, because He understood and He obeyed, we have salvation instead of condemnation. John 12, verses 49 through 50, Jesus said this, "For I do not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that His commands lead to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Maybe there's another good memory verse. I do not speak on my own. He understood. He was obedient. Revelation 3:19, a couple verses down from what we read earlier, says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Jesus told this lukewarm church, same thing, repent, come back to me. But something's a little different here. He said, be earnest. Why do we need to be earnest? Because he already warned them, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Jesus is not going to tolerate people who say they're Christians in mouth and don't do it in their actions. He will rebuke them. And he will spit them out of his mouth. It's his words, not mine. He says, be earnest and repent, and there I am. He went to heaven to prepare a place for us so that we might be with him on it also. The King James Version says, be zealous and repent. That means to burn with zeal, heated and boiled up, to desire earnestly, to strive after and exert all that you have. If you do that and repent, God is faithful. So do we truly love God? Do we truly obey Him? Let me remind you again, John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commands. It doesn't say keep my commands and that will show your love. It says, if you love me, it will bring about obedience. And John 14:24 said, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. Pretty clear. So do we truly love God? Do our actions show it? When I examine my own life, and I'll use myself as an example, I find places where I definitely can improve. And then I get on my knees and ask God to forgive me and show me and teach me so that I can become more like Christ. I don't beat myself up for struggling that I am or am not like Christ, but that when I see ways that I have done wrong, that He will forgive me. He will empower me. He will teach me and He will use me more. Not to show that I am anybody, but to show that I am a worthless sinner, saved by grace. And my God is everything. Luke 6:17-18 says, He, meaning Jesus, went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd, now don't miss this part, of His disciples. Not just disciples, but His disciples. Were there a great number of people from all over Judea and Jerusalem and from the coastal regions around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear Him and be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured. This is like so many people who call themselves Christians. No, they were called disciples here. They weren't called Christians yet. Because they wanted what they could get out of church. What they could get out of God. That He would heal them. That they would be His fan, but they wouldn't be truly committed to what all He taught, to everything. They did not understand. They called themselves disciples, but they weren't called Christians yet. Jesus knows who His true disciples are. If you go down to verse 46, it says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? True disciples have ones that have chose to submit and then to serve in full obedience. It's something that's required. They obey God, and then they were called like Christ Christians. Chuck Swindoll said this. He says, imagine, if you will, that if you work for a company whose president found it necessary to travel out of the country and spend an extended period of time abroad. So he says to you and the other trusted employees, look, I'm going to leave. And while I'm gone, I want you to pay close attention to the business. You manage things while I'm away. I'll write you regularly. When I do, I will instruct you in what you would do from now until I return from this trip. Everyone agreed. He leaves and stays gone for a couple of years. During the time, he writes often. He communicates his desires and concerns. Finally, he returns. He walks up to the front door of the company and immediately discovers everything in a mess. Weeds flourishing in the flower beds. Windows broken across the front of the building. The gal at the front desk is dozing off. Loud music is roaring from the back room. Instead of making a profit, the business has suffered a great loss. Without hesitation, he calls everyone together with a frown and asks, what happened? Didn't you get my letters? They say, oh yeah, sure we did. We got all of your letters. We even bound them in a book. Some of us have memorized them. In fact, we have a letter study every Sunday. You know, those were really great letters. I think the president would then ask, But what did you do with my instructions? And no doubt the employees would reply, do? Well, nothing. We read them. We memorized them. Were we supposed to do something? So many times we are guilty of that. But God has commanded us, because we're part of His plan, we're His ambassadors, to live a life like Christ, to be totally obedient, not partially obedient. And then we wonder, like I said, why our children and their children don't fear and love the Lord anymore. Because we haven't taught them with all of our hearts. We haven't been the example they needed to be. There was also a young man who fell off a cliff, and he's holding on to the limb. And he calls out, help, help. No answer. Help, help, I can't hold on much longer. Still no answer. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm giving up. I can't hold on any longer. And then there's a voice. It says, I'm right here. Who is this? He says. This is Jesus, son. Oh, I'm saved. What do you want me to do? Let go of the limb. And he answers back, help, help, is anyone else up there? We're afraid to let go of this life. We're afraid that we can't control anything. We can't. So we don't live the life that we should live. The life that David wrote about in Psalm. That I love all of your decrees. Help me to live by them. The message reads the same passage from this morning this way. You're blessed when you stay on course. Walk steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow His directions, doing your best to find Him. That's right, you don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road He set. You, God, prescribe the right way to live. Now you expect us to live it. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping to the course you set. Then I'd never have any regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. I thank you for speaking straight from your heart. I learned the pattern of your righteous ways. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Don't ever walk off and leave me. How can a young person live a clean life? By carefully reading the map of your word. I'm single-minded in pursuit of you. Don't let me miss the road signs you've posted. I've banked your promises in my vault of my heart, so I won't send myself bankrupt. Be blessed, God. Train me in your ways of wise living. I'll transfer to my lips all the counsel that comes from your mouth. I delight far more in what you tell me about living than in gathering a pile of riches. I ponder every morsel of wisdom from you. I attentively watch how you've done it. I relish everything you've told me of life. I won't forget a word of it. Be generous with me and live a full life. Not for a minute will I take my eyes off your road. I open my eyes so I can see what you show me of your miracle wonders. I am a stranger in these parts. Give me clear direction. My soul is starved and hungry, ravenous, insatiable for your nourishing commands. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the example of our servant King, who was God, who was your Son, but yet obedience came from Him. He was obedient even to death to save a wretched person like me. Lord, help us to be your examples, to be your hands and feet. Not to be hypocrites, but be fully sold out Christians who will make mistakes. And when we make mistakes, all we need to do is turn in repentance to you. And you'll be there to pick us up. Lord, we thank you so much for loving us. I am just overwhelmed that you would love me. Use me, use each and everyone here that is willing to serve you with all of their hearts. Let them learn to love you so that obedience will become second nature. So that they may be examples. So that they may build up rewards in heaven. Not for our glory, but for yours, Father. Your will be done. Thank you for us being a part. Thank you for loving us and calling us to be your children. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.